Yeah. Praise God. Aren't you glad He saved you?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Praise His name forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're just so grateful. So thankful to be in your house tonight. Father, to be gathered around your word in the presence of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Father, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you'd be in the midst of us. So Father, we thank you that Jesus is here. The book of Revelation says that He's the one that walks in the midst of the churches. So we welcome you, Lord. We thank you. Be God here tonight. Do what you want done. Say what you want said. We'll always point all the praise and the glory back to you. Father, we thank you for the anointing tonight. We thank you it breaks yokes. We thank you the truth sets us free. So, Father, we thank you for freedom tonight. We thank you for blessings. We thank you for utterance and boldness. We thank you that we're going to hit the mark in this service for what you want done. And Father, we'll always give you the praise for it and give you the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You're going to be glad you came tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go into something tonight that really will be quite a blessing to you, but there's a point that has to be established in groundwork that needs to be laid in your heart beforehand, because it really explains the end of what we're going to show you that will help change things. It explains the why of it, and so we need to establish some things here. I'm going to read down, and you know, Kim Lai, do your best to follow along. I'm not going to read all these verses just for time's sake, but I want us to get the gist of things. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. What's creating something mean? Something that wasn't there, right? It's making something that didn't exist. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the Bible says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So there was an earth, but it was dark and void. And look at verse 3, what the Bible says. And God said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. Hallelujah. And it goes on and it talks about the light. And then verse 6, it says, and God said. So when God wanted light, when God said we need some light, what did God do to create light? He spoke it into existence. Amen. In verse 6 it says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And guess what happened? It happened. Go down to verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So God wanted to create some more stuff. How did He do it? He spoke it into existence. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb and yielding seed and the fruit of the tree yielding fruit of its kind. And guess what happened when God said, let that happen? Things sprung up. When God wanted it, He created it with His words. And verse 14 said, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day. And He's talking about the sun and the moon here. And we go on and read it. We see, guess what happened? He wanted the sun and the moon. He created it with His words. Praise God. Hallelujah. And verse 20 said, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created what great whales. It goes on to say, so God wanted to create things in the water. And guess what He did? He spoke it. And what happened? It came to pass. Hallelujah. And verse 24 said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. And guess what happened? It happened. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. And guess what? When God spoke it, it happened. Praise God. Now, what I want you to understand, and this the principle that I need to get into you, it's going to be a little teachy at first, but that's okay. Because you need to get this in you to understand the why of what you need to be doing and doing daily. Go with me to John 4 and verse 24 to establish a fact here. John 4 and verse 24. I'm going to try to beat you so I can get a quick drink. Sword drills up here. You never had a sword drill when you're little? Who can get to the verse quickest? John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Do you see that? God is not natural. Like, now, we are spirits, but we're housed and we live in the natural and we're housed in a natural carnal flesh. But what I want you to see is when there was no natural realm or things in the natural realm were void and needed to be created, when it says, and God said, that was a spirit doing something to change the natural. Amen? Or you could say it this way. The natural didn't change the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm changed the natural realm. Amen? And what I'm trying to tell you and get a point across to you is the spirit realm trumps or has precedent over the natural realm. Okay? You maybe wondered where we're going this, but we're going somewhere. Don't worry. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. So the spirit realm, God was not natural. God is a spirit. And when God wanted things changed in the natural had to give it up to what the spiritual wanted. Amen? It wasn't the other way around. The spiritual realm had precedent, had authority over the natural realm. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. This is talking about, if you read verses before, about dying, being with him in heaven. For this cause we faint not. Now look at this. Though our outward man perisheth, our inward man is renewed day by day. Well, that's talking two-thirds of the spirit, the makeup of man. It's talking about the spirit of man. It's also talking the body of man. And the Bible tells us something about the natural carnal realm. It says that the outward or the carnal natural realm is passing away. It's wearing out. It's fading off. It's not eternal. But the Bible says the inward man, which is the spirit of man, is renewed day by day. What is that saying? It never wears out. It grows stronger and stronger. What's that an example of? The spirit realm trumping the natural realm. The spirit realm has no expiration date. The natural realm has an expiration date. Amen? So what I'm trying to ingrain in you and brand in you going forward this evening is that realm of the spirit trumps or takes precedent or has authority over the natural realm. Amen? And it goes on to say in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, which would be the natural realm, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. You know what that means? Subject to change. Not lasting forever. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There it is again. This natural realm has its place, but the spiritual realm takes precedent over the natural realm. Amen? One thing that the Lord gave me as an example that we can look at that shows this is how many of you know we have light sources on the earth that help us to see, and they're natural light sources, but even we'll see in light sources that the spiritual even trumps the natural light sources. Now, follow along with me here as I go through my progression of what the Holy Ghost showed me. Think about a light bulb. What does a light bulb do? It's a natural thing that helps us to see. It gives off light. But we know there's no light bulb that's eternal, right? In fact, there's different brands of light bulbs. And we have the incandescent light bulb that can last 1 to 2 years. I have these written down here because I certainly don't have these memorized. The halogen light bulb can last for 2 to 3. You have the compact fluorescent light bulbs can last from 7 to 9 years. And you have LEDs that can last from 10 to 20 years. So we have these light sources. Some are more temporal. Some are more subject to change quicker than others. But regardless, even an LED light is not eternal. And it gives off light. So we have these natural sources. But how many of you know the greatest natural source of light that affects our system, that's a natural thing, is the sun. The sun gives off light. The sun helps. But how many of you know the sun is just a natural thing? The sun isn't a spiritual thing. And how many of you know the sun has already burned a certain amount of time? And scientists tell us, if Pastor Mike Anderson lives to be 5 billion and 41 years old, I'm going to get cold. Because they tell me that the sun in 5 billion years is going to burn out. Now, my point, number one, I don't believe humans are going to have to worry too much about that. God knew what he was doing when he put it in the sky. But it's still burning out. And it's still, if there were life that long, that sun would come to an end. Right? You see what I'm saying? So the natural can last. Even the greatest light source there is in the natural is going to eventually fade away. Why? It's natural. But look at this real quick. This is so good to see. Go to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'm showing you that the spiritual trumps the natural. So we have natural light sources, and we have a great big orange one in the sky that's the most powerful source of light. But even that is still natural. Now, we might not ever see it fade out, but it will fade out someday if the life on earth would go on as it is. I believe Jesus will be back way before then. But if he's not, I'd hate to be them in 5 billion years. Amen. But I'm sure God's got something for them to help them if they are. Revelation 21 and verse 22. Now this is talking about heaven. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. This is talking about giving us a glimpse into heaven. And look what it says here. And the city, now where's heaven? Is heaven a natural place or a spiritual place? It's a spiritual place. That's where God dwells, and he's a spirit. The Bible says in verse 23, the city had no need of the sun. Well, how are they going to see? No need of the sun. Neither of the moon to shine in it. Look at this. For the glory of God did lighten, praise God, it. And the Lamb is the light of it. So there is a sun, but it is the sun. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So what's my point? Natural light fades away, but in heaven, they don't use light bulbs that fade away. They use an eternal spiritual light that lives forever and shines brightest forever. What am I saying again? You have to understand this. You'll see why. The spiritual trumps the natural. The spiritual has precedent over the natural. Are you getting it? Amen. I believe that you are. Hallelujah. Now, think about this. When God wanted change as a spiritual being in the natural realm, how did he do it? He spoke it. He opened his mouth and he spoke it. Go to Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3 gives us an indicator of this. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, that's what we read about in Genesis, all that came with that, were framed. What's the frame? To build something, to create something. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or built or created by the Word of God. When God wanted oceans, what did he do? Open his mouth. When God wanted creatures on the earth, in dry land, and in the water, what did he do? He opened his mouth. Amen? When God wanted the sun and the moon, what did he do? He opened his mouth. They were framed by the Word of God. Do you get that now? Okay, now go with me to Mark 11 and verse 12. Now we're getting off the highway of teaching, and we're going to get onto the highway of preaching. Are you ready? Buckle up. Here we go. Hallelujah. But what did we establish? The spiritual realm trumps as precedent, has authority over the natural realm. Mark 11 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 11:12 says this. And on the morrow, when they, that's the disciples, were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he talked to a tree, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Jesus wanted something to change in the fig tree. What did he want to change in the fig tree? I don't want that fig tree growing fruit anymore. That's what he wanted. What did God do when he wanted something changed in the natural? He opened his mouth and spoke it. Jesus wanted something. His will in this situation was, fig tree, no more fruit from you. How did he go attempt to make that happen? He spoke to it. He spoke to it. Now, we read on here, and they came to Jerusalem, verse 15, skip down to verse 19, because they went and did their business in Jerusalem. And when evening was come, they went out of the city. Hallelujah. And in the morning, so this is the next day, they're leaving Jerusalem, going back to where they came from. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Well, that's what would happen if the fig tree got cursed, can't grow fruit anymore. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, look, or behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So it didn't happen when Jesus said it. We don't know how long after they left it happened, but it certainly didn't happen at the time. Or Peter would have said, wow, look, it's happening. They must have just walked away thinking, I left everything to follow this guy? He's talking to a tree. He's talking to an it. He's speaking to a natural thing. But what did Jesus say? No man eat fruit from you here ever after. The next day comes by, they walk by, they're going by the fig tree. Catches Peter's eyes. Oh my gosh. I remember yesterday when Jesus spoke to that tree and it did exactly what he said. He says, Master, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. It happened, praise God. Now, so we see what God does. When God wants something changed in the natural, he speaks to it. When Jesus wanted something changed in the natural, he spoke to it. Now, why would that work? Is it just because he's Jesus? No. It's because of the first thing that Pastor Mike tried to lay down in your heart. That the spiritual realm trumps the natural realm. Well, what do you mean the spiritual realm? Jesus was flesh and blood. Jesus was flesh and blood. What spiritual realm was there? Because God is a spirit, but Jesus, we know, was also 100% man. He slept, he ate, he hungered, he wept, he was in pain. He went through the things a man went through. Go with me to John 6:63. I'm going to show you the spiritual realm trumps the natural. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Now notice this. The words that I speak unto you. The words that I speak unto you. Guess what those words are? They're spirit words in their life. They're words from a realm that trump or change the natural realm. Well, what do we know about Jesus? Number one, he says, the words I speak are spirit words. Well, of course they're spirit words. He's saying, my words are spirit words. The word of God is spirit words. Well, what do we know about Jesus? The Bible says in the beginning was the word was with God. And then it says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word. So anything that comes out of his mouth is word of God. God is a spirit, so when Jesus speaks, it's spirit words. Or words that come from a realm that trump the natural. So when Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority and power, with a force that has the power to change or upset the apple cart of the natural. Just like when there was nothing on the earth, the Spirit of God, God a spirit, opened his mouth, spirit words came out, and what happened? It changed it. When Jesus wanted something changed, he is His words are all spirit that come out of him because he's the word, number one. But his words are spirit because he only speaks what God would say, and God's a spirit. Jesus opened his mouth and spoke the word of God, spirit words to the natural, and the natural had to change. It had to change. Now go back with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22. Or go to back to verse 21. Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. They're shocked. We see an example of God being able to change the natural, and we see an example of Jesus being able to change the natural. But then Jesus said, answered and said unto them, because they're all astonished, have faith in God. Or, in my margin of my Bible, if you look that up in the Greek, have faith in God is true. You do need to have faith in God. He's the one that moves the mountains. But it's talking about have the faith of God. What's he saying? Act like God would act. Didn't Jesus act like God acted? When God wanted the natural change, how did he do it? Spoke to it. When Jesus wanted the natural change, how did he do it? Spoke to it. Now he's going to tell the people, when you want the natural change, have the faith like God has. Well, what's the faith like God has? Genesis 1. Mark 11, speak to the fig tree. He says, have the faith of God. Now look at this, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, now who's he talking to? His boys. Well, he's got included God, Jesus, now includes the disciples. That leaves us out until the verse continues. Verily I say unto you, now remember the premise here. They're shocked that his words could affect and change that which is in the natural. They're shocked by it. And Jesus says, no, no. Have faith like God has. For verily I say unto you, now I'm talking to you, but now he's going to talk to you, that whosoever, everybody here, you know what you are? You are part of Whoville. The whosoever crew. Are you a whosoever? Yep. It doesn't just say, well, just African people, just the American people, just Bible time people. It says this will work for whosoever. What will work for whosoever? Now remember, the premise, they just saw him change the natural. They're shocked. And I was saying, don't be shocked. Have faith like God. Because if you do this, and whosoever does what? Shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. Now think about this. The mountain is a natural thing. Now he's not telling us go to the base of a mountain, a literal mountain, speak to it. He's using an analogy of a mountain, that different mountains we encounter in our lives that what are in our way, that stand in the way of our victory to where we want to go, that oppose us, that look impossible, that look impassable, that look like we can't get to the other side. He said the way you're going to change that mountain is you're going to open your mouth and you're going to speak to it and tell it to be removed. And it will listen to you, praise God. Hallelujah. Love it. But how does it work? Well, how did it work for God? He spoke spirit words. Spirit words are a force that trump and have precedent over this realm. And when they go into this realm, change has to happen. Well, what did Jesus do? Opened his mouth, spoke spirit words to the tree, a force that comes to the tree. The tree can't stand against the forces of the spirit. Why? The spirit realm trumps the natural. Just like no matter how much that voidless, dark earth didn't want an ocean, when God spoke to it, there was an ocean. No matter how much the universe and the atmosphere didn't want a sun and a moon, God spoke to it and it had to change. No matter how much that fig tree wanted to stay, spirit words hit it. Trumps it, praise God. For this to work for you, you must also put spirit words in your mouth. Amen. Why? Jesus said, if you'll do it, what I just did will also work for you and whosoever will do it. Praise God. Hold on a second. That deserves a drink. Now, what are spirit words? Well, Jesus told us what spirit words are. He said, my words are spirit. What's spirit words? Words that come from God. Words that come from God. The word of God in your mouth is spirit words. And they'll work just like God worked it. They'll work just like Jesus worked it because he said, it'll work for you, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what are spirit words? Number one, we have a whole bunch of spirit words found in here. When Pastor Mike's going through his financial testimony, and let's say these are bills, and these bills are stacked up, and my paycheck's zero, and the natural calculator and the writing and the add and subtracting comes out to $2,000 short a month, I'm not just saying, well, I sure hope I have money. Those aren't spirit words. Well, it sure would be nice if money came. No. I put spirit words in my mouth, spoke them into the atmosphere, and the atmosphere has to give it up. What did I say? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, what happened was that force that trumps the natural and has precedence over the natural was coming into the atmosphere, and it had to cause change because that realm trumps this realm. That realm created this realm. So when you get that realm in your mouth, this realm has to change. And it did. Hallelujah. I think about the church building in Allegheny. And we were in that warehouse for a few years. And I look for buildings almost weekly. I drive out there and drive around looking for buildings. And there's nothing but the Holy Ghost bore witness in my spirit that God had a building for us. And you see, that's the key, putting spirit words in your mouth. If you don't have a scripture for it, that's okay as long as he gives you something in your heart. I don't have a scripture that tells me I have a specific building. Now, you could liken it in the fact that he said he'd meet all our needs, but we had a building in the warehouse. But God spoke to me and said, there's a building for you. So I took those spirit words and put them in my mouth and started saying, building come in Jesus' name. Building come in Jesus' name. Building come in Jesus' name. Same thing that happened with our home. Didn't have a scripture and verse, chapter and verse on that address was our home, but God told me this was my house, so I put that in my mouth. And a whole lot of natural things had to happen and change, but it changes because the natural has to give it up. Amen. It's just the truth, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say that, yeah, I'll save that. It seems good in my heart to keep that at the end. Let's look behind the scenes at what happens and why this works. Go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I'm going to prove to you by the scriptures everything I've just told you. I'm not even going to focus on verse 8 and 9. But verse 8 and 9 set the stage for verse 9, 10 and 11. Because if you don't get verse 8 and 9 down, you'll never get verses 10 and 11 down in your heart. What am I talking about? God, right off the bat, before he's going to get to his point, the point he's going to make is found in verse 10 and 11. But before he gets to the point, he needs to lay some groundwork. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Right off the bat, he's trying to make sure you know something. I don't think like you. The way that I do things is not the way you might do things. So when you don't think it should be done a certain way, God's saying, I might think it should be done that way. When you don't think it should be done a certain way, God's saying, that's okay that you don't think that. That's how I think. For example, go get water out of the well when we need wine. The natural man would say, That's not the way to get wine. I don't think that's going to work. But God's saying, that's how I think and that's my ways. Go do it and it'll work. He says, for my... For as the heavens are higher than the earth, verse 9, and my ways higher than yours, my thoughts are higher than yours. He says, my thoughts are higher, my ways are higher. Because why? He's about to show you a way. He's about to show you how he thinks about something. And if you stay in your little religious closed box mind, you'll never get this. Because it's not how I would do it. And it's not how I would think it should happen. But it's his ways and his thoughts. So he establishes that because he's about to make your mind go a little squirrely of how your mind would think. But that's okay. You don't think like him. Your ways aren't like him. He says, now he's going to come to the point. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, what's it saying? It falls from the sky and it stays there. It's never shot back up, has it? You ever seen it? I haven't. But it waters the earth, stays here and waters the earth, gets into the ground. And then look at the result. It makes it, the earth, bring forth and bud. What's bring forth and bud do? Something that wasn't there is now there. Change happened, right? When the ground has nothing, the rain hits it and something comes up, that's change. And look at the result of the change. Good things happen. That it may, say the change is the result, so it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he's saying, well, what's the agricultural lesson here, Father? Why are we going to farming school today? Because he's about to make a spiritual point. And a lot of times you see in the Word that God uses natural illustrations or natural examples to illustrate or to bring forth spiritual points. So he says, something about the rain falls, hits, waters, causes it to bring forth and bud, and then that bring forth and bud turns into seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at the next line. So shall my word be. So shall my word be. So verse 10 and 11 are connected. So shall my word be. So he's saying, what I'm about to tell you is spiritual, but it happens just like we just read in the natural in verse 10. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Well, what's the word like into the rain and the snow? It comes out of the sky. What's that? Going forth out of his mouth. And look what it says. Shall not return unto me void. Remember what the verse said before? The rain and the snow come and they don't return. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. What's that called? Bring forth and bud. Change. And what does the change do? Just like we saw in verse 10, when the bring forth and bud happened, it causes seed to the sower, bread to the eater. He says, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. What's he saying? My words go forth. Now if you get this in your heart, you'll understand why it works. He says, when the word goes... Now again, remember, you don't have to try to figure out why it works this way. His ways are higher than yours. Just accept that. You don't have to try to think, well, I don't understand why this works. I always use the example. And I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to beat a dead horse. I come over to this light switch, and I know that when I walk into a dark room... You know, this won't make it that dark in here, but let's say it was the only light source we had. And I walk in, and I know there's a light switch here. I don't go like this. I don't know how electricity works. I can't figure out electricity, so I'm just going to stay in the dark. No, I don't give a rip if I know how. I don't give a rip if I know why it works. I just, and it blesses me. You don't have to know why this works or how this works. All you have to know is it does. Amen? And he's saying, when the word goes out, it's like the rain. It hits the atmosphere. It doesn't come back. It hits the atmosphere. What's it do? Causes it to change, bring forth and bud, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Well, isn't that what happened in Genesis? He spoke. It didn't come back to him. It hit the atmosphere. It changed the atmosphere, caused the atmosphere to spring forth into blessing. When Jesus spoke, bam, didn't return, hit the atmosphere, changed to what his will was. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. And he said to you, praise God, he said to you, it'll work for you. Now go with me to Proverbs 18:21. Amen. I don't know why that works. You don't have to know why. I don't know how that, you don't have to know how. You just have to know the fact that the spiritual realm trumps the natural realm. And when you put spirit words in your mouth, it goes into the surface like rain hitting the ground, changes the ground. I'll be honest with you. I don't know the ins and outs of farming. I just know it works. I know you need rain, and the rain is vital for farmers. And they love the rain because it does something to the ground, and it causes the ground to do things and change. I don't get it. I don't get how electricity works. But I don't stumble at it and say, oh, I don't know, I can't use that because I don't get it. I don't know why my vehicle starts when I put the key in. Some of you might be able to tell me, but I don't know how. Most of the things I do in life, I have no idea. I just do it. I still can't figure out why I can balance on a bike that has two wheels. It just seems like you should fall over. I know someone could explain it to me, but I don't know how, naturally. I just know it works. Just keep pedaling. It'll work, right? But we stumble at this, get in our head. Just take him at his word. Proverbs 18:21. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Death and life. Say death and life. Death and life. Two things that are things that cause, they're changing things. Diets change. Life springs up. It's change. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it eat the fruit thereof. So notice this. What does the tongue do besides lick lollipops? The tongue speaks words. Helps us form words. Helps us to speak words. The Bible says that your tongue has power. Power to what? Create. Just like God's tongue had power to create. Just like Jesus' tongue had power to create. Your tongue has the power to create death and life. Opposite ends of the spectrum. Two different things. Now again, God, we just saw, used a natural example to illustrate a spiritual truth. I'm going to do the same thing. The tongue has tremendous power. Creating power for good, creating power for bad. Right? That's what the word says. Think about electricity. We're talking about electricity. Electricity is a power source. Electricity is very powerful. Electricity harnessed the right way brings great blessing. Doesn't it? We can do so much with it. But electricity harnessed the wrong way can hurt, can kill, right? Same power source, handled wrong. Your tongue has the ability to do right or to do wrong. I remember my friend Jonas was working on the front room there, and there's a light switch there, and that light switch brings me great blessing because it's part of the house that I need to see because there's stairs and I don't want to fall on my head. And so that light switch brings great blessing. I just flick on and that electricity works. Well, he was working and I don't know. I thought he would just know that I am not smart with this stuff. And the light switch is sticking out of the wall with the plate off and I can see the wires, but the light switch is there and I don't know why this happened, but I went over to flip it on and oh my goodness! That was a different experience than I ever had flicking on that light switch before. But what happened? I mishandled the power. If the power is handled right, that's a great blessing, but it was wrong. So many people, with their tongue, mishandle what their tongue's meant for. Now, the Lord showed me this last night. Yeah, it can be used for good or bad. But think about this. When it comes to electricity, electricity can hurt. Electricity can bless, or you can just choose to not participate in it at all and not get the benefits from it. The tongue can do wrong, tongue can do good, or the tongue can just stay idle and do nothing. And you don't get the blessing of it, amen? Hallelujah. It's not enough to just not say anything. Walk into a room and, well, could get electrocuted, could not, or just not do it, not use it at all. Well, then it goes unused and I don't get blessed. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, people. Now, this is what I want to wrap it all up with this. Go to Mark 11, 23. Actually, go to verse 22 to really bring it home. Mark 11, 22. To recap, the spirit realm trumps the natural. How did the spirit realm change the natural? God, how did he do it? Words. How did Jesus do it? Words. What did we find out about the Word of God and the Word of God? What the Word of God can do to the natural? The Word of God can change the natural. We see it in examples in Genesis. We see it with Jesus. We know why. It's like rain. The Bible likens it to rain. And we also know now that our tongue, we've known this before, I'm sure, but reiterating, our tongue has power. Creating power. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered, said, have faith in God or have the faith like God has. For verily I say unto you, I love this. You know what verily I say unto you is? Of a truth I'm telling you something. You know what they had the pleasure of seeing? Jesus stand right face to face with them and say, I'm telling you something. This doesn't just work for my Father God. This doesn't just work for me. I'm telling you, as the Son of God, who cannot lie, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you and whosoever, if you would open your mouth and speak to the mountains, the same thing will happen for you. Imagine if Jesus came through the doors and stood up here and we beheld his glory. And he pulled each one of you aside and started with Jeff and said, Jeff, I want you to know. I know you saw it work for me, but I'm telling you. Oh, you would believe Jesus in a second. I'm telling you, brother. If you'll open your mouth and speak to those mountains, they'll be removed. We'd run out here and say, that's it. I'm opening my mouth and start speaking it. We don't need him to show up in the flesh. He's already here. He already told us. By faith, we know he already said it to us face to face. What if we actually walk out of here believing that what we say will come to pass in the good way or in the bad way? Oh, my Lordy. It would get us to stop saying some of the things we're saying. It would get us to start saying things that we're not saying at all and keep speaking and speaking to that thing, praise God. Why? The mountain will move. The mountain will move. Why? You put spirit words in your mouth. When you find spirit words for your body and you start speaking spirit words to your body has to change. You have unruly children, and you start speaking spirit words to your children, they have to change. They're natural beings. It's the, yeah, absolutely, their little brains have to change. Their little flesh has to change. When your finances are hell on earth and going haywire, find some spirit words. Get them in your mouth and start speaking to those bills that are mountains. Speak to that lack of paycheck, that poverty that's in your life. This came in my heart as I was praying earlier. You single people that are looking for a spouse, you know, one of the lies of the enemy, especially those of you that want to go God's way and marry a person that loves the Lord and do it the right way, because we're in a smaller church, at times it can seem like, well, how's that ever going to happen for me? Don't limit God by the size of this building. Don't limit God by the size of this county. If you're called here and you'll start putting your faith on that, The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. How many of you know God's pro-marriage? If you want to get married, God will let you. It's his will. You don't have to worry about, well, I don't see a whole lot of single people here, that, you know, whatever. Stop it. Faith moves mountains. You're getting caught up in the natural thinking, well, if I would go to a bigger church, or maybe if I would go out into the world, I'd have a better chance. Why don't you just do it God's way? Amen. And start saying, spouse, godly spouse, you come to me in Jesus' name. I call a godly wife. I call a godly husband. Faith moves mountains. It's his will. Get spirit words in your mouth and watch it happen. Amen. It's just the truth. Find the promise. Oh, boy. Find the promise, get it in your mouth, and start speaking to the natural, and go to Hebrews 10:23, and we'll close. 7:34, that's a record. That's a record. What did I say? Hebrews 10:23? Well, let's hope I was right, because I don't have it written down. Now look at this. Let us hold fast. You know what hold fast means? Grip it. Hold on tight. Hold on tight to what? The profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. If he said something, now notice this. This is interesting. Notice his promises don't come to pass automatically. His promises must be in your mouth, spoken, just like salvation. Guess what? It's a promise, but how'd you get it? You spoke it. You wouldn't have to hold fast to confession if his promises came to pass automatically. You know how his promises come to pass? Through confession. Because Jesus said you'll have what you say, not what you think, not what you hope, not what you dream, not what you want. You'll have what you say. So when you start speaking to something, it's time to hold on to that thing. Because there's going to be some things that come along and try to knock that confession out of you. That's why he says hold on to it tight. You don't warn somebody to hold on to it. Like when you're getting on a roller coaster, hold on tight. You better hold on tight. There's going to be some things that are trying to jar you and shake you around, throw you around. Hold on tight. Hold fast to that confession. What's that mean? 6 months down the road when nothing's changed and the wind and the waves are strong and the symptoms are worse and the finances are worse. It's going to try to knock that confession. Hold on to that. Why? He's faithful. If you put his promises in your mouth, which are what? Spirit words. They have to come to pass. Why? The spirit realm trumps the natural realm. Hold on and don't let go. Now, I'll just say this in closing. I don't have time to go through everybody's issues and what they could be facing. If you need spirit words to put into your mouth concerning the issue or the mountain that's in your life, give me a phone call. I'll give you the force that's going to be used to change the natural. And then your job is to speak it and to hold on and watch God come to pass. Amen. 2 years I went through what naturally looked like poverty. And, you know, people, if they don't see things come to pass in a week, get discouraged. In a day, get discouraged. In 2 weeks, get discouraged. In a month, get discouraged. 2 years I had to face, every time a calendar flipped, where's $2,000 coming from this month? And I didn't run around getting extra jobs and beat myself into an oblivion and overwork myself. I sat in a rocking chair holding and feeding his little fat face. You should have seen how fat it was back then. Oh, man. Rocking back and forth with that bottle. Saying, Father, I thank you. Every bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. I thank you, Father, for supernatural debt payoff. Father, I thank you for increase. I thank you money comes my way. I'm a money magnet. What am I doing? Speaking the word. Spirit words. And every month, creation happened. And I held fast to it, praise God. Was there times to get discouraged? You better believe it. There's times. But you get discouraged, just get back on the faith train. The faith train's always open for passengers. He never tells you to stay off it. That's why don't beat yourself up, just get back on. So if you need to get that, but Jesus told you. You need to close your eyes sometime and think about what Jesus told you. He said, it'll work. It'll work. This will work. This will work for you. Well, I dare you to work it. I just dare you to work this. And watch it come to pass. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Oh, the natural needs changing. There's some things that need changing. Well, we got our marching orders. This is what you had for us, Father. I've done my part. May my fruit remain. Praise God. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word tonight. And Father, I pray that people wouldn't get caught up in the natural, but they just get those spirit words in their mouth, start speaking, and be faithful to it. No matter how long it takes, no matter what it looks like, don't waver. You're faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful. So many times in the Word, it looked like you were unfaithful, like it was going to turn out that you were unfaithful, but you're always faithful. So many times in the Word, we see that it looked like it was going the wrong way, but you were faithful. When Jesus, you promised that He would raise from the dead, it looked dire and desperate when He was dead for 3 days in the throes of hell, tormented by demons. But you were faithful, and it came to pass. Glory to God. And just like He rose from the dead, there are things in our lives that need to be raised from the dead. And we're going to speak it. We're going to speak it. Just like Jesus called forth Lazarus, how did He create life? He spoke it. Spirit words. Speak spirit words over your kids. Speak spirit words over your finances. Speak spirit words over your body. Speak spirit words over your job. Speak spirit words over your family. Speak spirit words over your whole life. Imagine if all of us would start speaking spirit words over Cattaraugus County, over Chautauqua County. What are spirit words? Harvest come in Jesus' name. The rain from heaven poured out in Jesus' name. Signs, wonders, and miracles popping like popcorn in Jesus' name. Those are spirit words that will hit the atmosphere. And what will happen? Change will come. The harvest will come. Signs, wonders, and miracles will come. Healings will come in Jesus' name. Don't just be selfish and think of yourself. Speak these things for our church. Church, you grow in Jesus' name. Church, you increase in Jesus' name. The supply for this church come in Jesus' name. Debt free in Jesus' name. Oh, if we could get all our faith on it, not just mine on it. Oh, man, would we do some things. You need to, yes, thank you, Lord. Write these things down. Why? You got to do this on purpose. Write it down. Put it in an iPad. Put it in a notebook. Put it on your computer and make a point every day. Every day to water. Just like you make a point to water your flowers, your garden, your plants, make it a point every day to water the natural. Water the natural with the Spirit. Water the natural with the Spirit and watch it change. Every day. Every day. Every day. Some of us have had so many droughts. And we go so long and we wonder where the change is. There's not been watering. Thank you, Father. We go forward different tonight in Jesus' name. We go forward different tonight in Jesus' name. Declare this with me. Things are changing. Just keep saying it to yourself. Things are changing. And you think about what you're going through and what needs changing. Come on, declare it. Things are changing. Things are changing. Why? Jesus said you'll have what you say. You better get used to saying something. If you're a quiet person, you better throw that out the window. My business is changing. More money's coming. More healing's coming. More things for my children. Deliverances are coming. Turnaround's coming. Increase is coming. Promotion's coming. Money's coming. Things are changing. Things are changing. Things are changing. Debts are being removed. Sicknesses are being removed in Jesus' name. Yeah, you better get used to opening your mouth because Jesus didn't say you'll have what you think. And we better start doing it His way and stop trying to figure it out our way. Get some things in your mouth on purpose. Let's stand to our feet and let's worship Him like we mean it. Father, we praise You and bless Your holy name. We go forward different tonight. Jesus, You have told us face to face that this will work for us and we will not mock You. And we will not push this off to the side, but we will go forward with a renewed fervor, with renewed strength and excitement, and pressing forward into all that You have for us. We thank You, Father, that things are changing. And we give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed. Praise God.